from the Mercy One Studio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists and Dream Dirt, Farm Real Estate and Auction Services.
Good morning. Welcome to Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Father Fabian Moncada.
Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Nico.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Attend to the pleas of your people with heavenly care, O Lord, we pray, that they may see what must be done and gain strength to do what they have seen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us proceed. Very interesting weeks at the beginning of this year, huh, Father?
We do, we do. There's the annual spate of deaths. So, notoriously, funeral homes and churches will tell anybody who's asking that January and February are usually the heaviest months in terms of deaths. People seem to sort of hang on through the holidays, but as soon as that's done, they often kind of go. I think the weather might have something to do with it, too. I'm sure there's all kinds of reasons. But it puts those of us who work in ministry with the bereaved and the grieving in mind of just what our funeral rites and traditions are about, and how best to prepare for death, how best to die, and then how best to mourn.
Very interesting. So, my dear brothers and sisters from Iowa Catholic Radio, today we are invited you to dialogue with us about a funeral, this transition moment from the temporal life to the eternal life. There is a natural longing in the human heart for peace, friendship, love, and happiness, for a life that is purposeful and worthwhile. And there is an even deeper longing, sometimes quiet or hidden. This longing is to discover the ultimate meaning of life, to know the love of God, and to share in a destiny beyond the horizon of death. St. Augustine said, one of the great teachers of the Church wrote, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." How we can understand, Father, this death? Because it has been a frequent explanation to preach sometimes under these current circumstances. And curiously, January and February for the funeral homes has been a very tough time. Eh?
Right, very busy time. It's true. You know, death is, in probably most ways, the most important thing that we deal with. It's the most basic and fundamental reality, right? Death and taxes are the two things nobody escapes, even priests and religious. And it ultimately is that which he came to destroy, right? Trampling down death by death. The funeral rites of the Church, which have developed over a long period of time, but many of which are very ancient, many of the prayers we use now are the prayers that were used in the 3rd, 4th centuries, are ultimately not simply placing our hope in Christ's resurrection, but identifying the deceased Christian with Christ himself, so that in the dying of the Christian, we can see again the death of Jesus, in the hopes that in the rising of Jesus, we wind up seeing the resurrection of each Christian.
It's very interesting reflection, Father. Sometimes we don't have enough words to console people who have been suffering this kind of losing. But at the same time, why is it so dramatic and tragic for many human being circumstances when somebody lost a life?
So there's a natural horror that attends death. One of the fathers, I can't remember which one, maybe Cyprian, calls death the icon of sin. So that in the same way that an icon points us towards and puts our hearts and minds on the heavenly realities, what the decaying body does is show us what sin looks like in our soul. It's a bit like, I don't know if they had these in Latin America, but there was a drug campaign here in America in the 80s where they would say, "This is your brain," and they'd open an egg, and then they would fry the brain and say, "This is your brain on drugs." Well, it's sort of like looking at a body, "This is your soul engraced," and then you look at a body decaying, "This is your soul in sin." right? So that if the soul is the form of the body whole, lively, you know, lifesome, right? That's what we're supposed to be like. But the natural decay that happens to the body is ultimately the result of sin. And so that when people die, we rightly, our souls are not meant to be separated from our bodies. So it's okay to have an aversion, but the story is changed in light of Christ Jesus, so that death no longer becomes this sort of ultimate to fear. It certainly no longer has the last word, but it actually becomes a jumping off point. The prayers of the committal rite say, right, that you have changed the grave from you have changed the grave itself into a sign of hope.
Why we have that tendency at the moment, not only to preach, also to try to console the people. Was a good person. Oh, close to be saint person. He will be in heaven. She will be in heaven. That human being tendency for, if may I say it, effervescent consolation versus reality when we face God.
Right, of course. Yeah, so there's been a tendency in the last 40 years or whatever to be sort of stupidly optimistic about the eternal salvation of most people. Most people I know are not especially nice, right? And so, as a result, like to just presume that everybody's sort of a pseudo saint is really unwise, and it ultimately deprives the dead of the care of the living. You know, the prayers of the living are efficacious for the dead. This is a tradition we inherit from the Jews. Jesus prayed for the dead, so that certainly praying for the dead is the most natural part of Christian life and living. And so to canonize a person upon their death is to deprive them of a good which they have in justice from the church.
And finally, face-to-face with God is not an excuses, is no advocate that can presume that everything was fantastic in my life. This is why we have the anointing of the sick and the sacrament of reconciliation, right, to prepare our body, mind, and spirit in grace state for this transition life from temporal life to eternal life.
The other thing that happens, right, is that we do an injustice to those who remain, because most of us are a pretty untidy mix of good and evil. You know, there are people who will remember me well, and there are people who will really not remember me well. And if you try and canonize me on my deathbed or at my funeral mass, then those people who have been really hurt by me, and there are people who have been really hurt by me, are gonna be hurt by the fact that you're pretending that I was a lot better than I was. And you really rob them of the chance for real reconciliation internally with the person who's passed.
Remember that we are in Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Being at the frame, talking about funeral. Father PJ, Nico, and Father Fabian with you.
Thank you, Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio and Be Not Afraid. Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction is a licensed, accredited, and experienced farm brokerage and auction company. Learn more at dreamdirt.com, including their online auction house, FarmBid, at bid.dreamdirt.com. Dream Dirt Farm and Equipment Auction Services, farm auctions done right.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscapes. Extend your living space outdoors with patios, pergolas, fencing, and retaining walls. Outdoor lighting is another way to enjoy your landscaping day and night. Five Sons Naturescapes will spend the time to understand your needs and create your perfect outdoor space. Learn more about Five Sons Naturescapes at fivesonsnaturescapes.com. Thank you to Five Sons Naturescapes for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Thank you to Golden Rule for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
At Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, we do our best to serve the people and communities who so generously support us. We try and find some way to give back every single month because we know everyone can use some help. Golden Rule is very thankful for all of our customers and your continued support of us. We would like to wish you and yours a very blessed holiday season.
I'm Bobby from Golden Rule, where we deliver respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service every time you call. We have a standard and we prove it with every job. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you to Bozeman the Florist for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio, Dowling Catholic Football, and Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamayo.
What better way to send a message to a friend or a loved one than a beautiful bouquet of fresh-cut flowers? Hey, this is Tom Bozeman from Bozeman the Florist. Our family business has been helping Central Iowans send messages locally and around the world for almost 100 years. Whatever the occasion, whatever the message, we can help you say more with Bozeman. That's 244 Rose, 244-7673, or visit us at Bozeman.com.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. In God's plan, human beings were created for holiness and eternal life with Him. But through the original sin of our first parents, our nature has been wounded, and we experience suffering and death. This was not part of God's original plan, but this is part of the reality of our lives now. On the one hand, in purely natural terms, death is a frightening mystery. We are stripped of all our attachment to this world. Our body lies corrupt, and our immortal soul goes to meet the Lord. We will see the whole truth of our lives, and we will face God's judgment. We have a good seminarian with us today and have been helping Father PJ in several funerals.
In more ways than you know.
Okay. Good. So what do you think about the experience of the funerals, that ritual itself?
Well, it was, I'm going to say, it's very interesting in the way that I'm a Latino seminarian, and I'm going to say it's quite different in the way that we have been celebrating, because it's a celebration too, the funeral, and how the priest is doing those rites, you know. But in the U.S., the experience that I had is I saw the father following exactly what the rite is telling him to do. And also seeing, like, explaining people a little bit, briefly, what the
rites and the rituals
the rites
mean.
And the ritual means. And also, like, doing a, how can I say, like, a very organized, you know, or do making an order of this, because it's very important. What I saw is to make sure that people is understanding what the father is doing at that time. So, and I saw father praying, doing the prayer from the right, asking to people, you know, to participate during the ride, you know, some part of the prayer that implies people to be active, giving the people the meaning of the death and why the rite is important, you know, and also the role of the priest with people.
Excellent. Thank you, Nico. In the waters of baptism, Mr. or Mrs. died with Christ and rose with Him to new life. May he or she now share with Him eternal glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful how, through the sacrament of baptism, we receive the person at the main entrance from the church, exactly as one day the person received the initiation sacrament, in this case, the baptism.
So it was really cool. Nico was able to assist me with a baptism on Saturday night, and then we were able to do this just the very next day.
Okay.
So one of the things I often highlight when I talk about this with the families, right, is that you know, the first time you come into the church as an infant, somebody else carries you in, and the last time you come into the church, somebody else carries you in.
Absolutely.
So that the faith is communal. It's not simply mine individually. It is mine. It needs to be mine, but it can't be mine alone. And that just as baptism marks our entrance into the church, it marks our last departure from the church. We're covered with the water, just as we were when we were baptized. We're clothed in the white cloth of our baptism, often of which is stylized to match the vestments of the priest, and that's to associate the sacrifices that the person has made in life with the sacrifice of the Holy Eucharist. The candle from whence their baptismal candle was lit is placed next to their body, and they're laid near the Lord's altar so that their whole life becomes an offering. We do funerals as well as we do anything.
Absolutely. And at the same time, it's a very remarkable when the people asking between tears, why I lost a person, why was this long time of suffering, things like that. The beds that you can offer for a faithful departed is pray. Mm. The Holy Mass, the consolation, the fulfillment from God's mercy and compassion about the people who deceased is the encounter Jesus finally. Because this is a temporal life. Sometimes it's very difficult to helping the people to understand that living this life as eternal life,
right,
that is, on the contrary, is a very short period of time.
You know, Nico was highlighting sort of the prayers which the people are offered during this time. And part of the reason those are so important is because when we're grieving, we don't have the words that we don't have our own words. Like, we get lost for what to say, or we say really silly things. That's why we say such stupid things to people who are grieving, right? Oh, he's in a better place now. Well, maybe, but I just want to punch you, right? Right? You know, at least he's not suffering anymore. Well, yeah, but you don't really know what's happening. Like, that's not very consoling. The reason the church offers a structure at this time isn't to take away our creativity, but it's to make sure that we're being the tradition is tried and true, and so it gives shape and form to the grief, so that you're not left to your own devices to try and figure out how to do this. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, what do you say to loved one who has made it very clear that they do not want a funeral at all because they don't think they are worthy? It is very upsetting for many people.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of people have come to have different ideas or opinions around death. This is a very sad, you know, communication that was sent to us via text. I feel badly for the person. You know, I think the big thing here is it's not a matter of worth or worthiness. On the one hand, everybody's worthy of the care of other people. On the other hand, none of us is worthy of the gift that we're being given. That's the whole point. Worth and worthiness aren't the question. Love is. And the funeral mass, the funeral rites, the vigil and the mass and the committal, they're all the ways in which the church ultimately shows love for those of us who have gone before us.
Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, 94.5 FM. Funeral. The transition from temporal life to eternal life and encounter Jesus. Be not afraid.
Thank you to Mercy College of Health Sciences, downtown Des Moines, for underwriting our show, The Uncommon Good, with me, Bo Bonner.
And I'm Bud Marr. A degree from Mercy College provides endless possibilities. Students have access to patients with complex medical conditions, state-of-the-art medical facilities, highly motivated healthcare professionals, and classroom professors that transform them into servant leaders.
You can start the programs in fall, spring, or summer. There are endless possibilities available online at mchs.edu/kwky.
Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, and after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Is it time for a new roof? Then it could be time for you to get to know Bell Construction. Bell Construction is a roofing company entering its 30th year of business. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494.
Thank you, R&R Realty Group, for supporting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. R&R Realty Group is an Iowa commercial real estate owner and developer that provides services for all commercial real estate needs, including brokerage, interior space planning, real estate management, construction, and more. R&R Realty Group has been accommodating business expansions and real estate solutions since 1985, solving commercial real estate needs. R&R Realty Group, establishing long-term relationships built on trust.
Welcome back to Iowa Catholic Radio, 1150 AM, 88.5 FM. This coming Sunday, the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, have a beautiful piece for us.
Mm-hmm. Right. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God."
Beautiful piece of the gospel that reminds us in a very providential manner connection about our eternal life is encounter Jesus. So that means the hope of eternal life. On the other hand, Christians who have faith can approach death with peace and trust. There is a longing to be at home with the Lord. This is the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world.
Right. The great freedom that comes from the Christian life is that it's not all about you. Most of us live in a very narcissistic, self-centered sort of universe where things are all about me. And when everything is all about me, then all the responsibility for everything that happens is mine, and all the things that have to get done are mine. And when you can come into living relationship with the Lord Jesus, it's not all about you. It's all about him. You have a part to play, and it's an important part, a part laid out by him from before all time. But the world doesn't need another savior. It got one. The world doesn't need somebody to die for it again. Already happened. Our job is to live in ongoing living relationship with him.
As Christian, as Catholic people of God, we have the hope of eternal life and the knowledge that Christ has already conquered death by dying on the cross and raising from the dead and opening the gates of heaven for those who believe in him.
Right. So the intuition that the Christian faithful get right when they speak well of the dead is that that eternal life, the life of grace, doesn't simply begin upon death. It began at the font. It began the moment you were baptized. It began when grace entered your soul. And so the eternal life, which we live in heaven, we have access to even now in the sacraments of the church. And so it's natural that people who are living the life of grace, who are people of prayer, devout, merciful, living the Beatitudes, all the things that we would identify with a Christ-like life, who are living the life of Jesus now, it only makes sense that upon death we would be able to look back and see the finger of God providentially ordering both their life and their death, which is what gives us great hope in the life to come.
It's a very remarkable invitation for that Gospel of this coming Sunday, and also for our life to be ready to be in transition from this temporal to eternal life. Why are we waiting at the last moment to say, "I repent myself"? What is to struggle for us to encounter Jesus without any pressure? I'm talking about that conversion.
Right, no, I understand. I mean, I think it's because most of us are rather fond of our sins. That's my experience, right? Like, I could have one cheeseburger, I could have two. The two is really good. I don't want to give up the second cheeseburger. So I think the reason many of us delay conversion, whether that's in a formal way, like when you and I get called to a bedside and a person's been away from the church 50 years, or in a less formal way that you and I and Nico might actually suffer from ourselves, which is where we go to church and we say our prayers and people think we're holy, but, you know, I go back to my room at night and I'm thinking real mean thoughts about people, or I continue to have a temper that I refuse to work on, or I've got bad habits that I won't let go of. Both of those are prime candidates for conversion.
So it's an invitation kindly and gently go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Right. Reconcile your heart, your mind, your body, and your entire self with the grace of God that help you to moving forward in whatever happened in your life. Even though if you are sick, even though if you are an healthy and a very athletic person, nobody knows in which moment we will be called to this temporal life, to the eternal life. And finally, Father, the purgatory. Mm-hmm. It's a scary experience. It's a gift from God.
It's certainly the second. I really don't feel qualified to speak about the first. You know, John Leonetti has all kinds of people on to talk about this stuff. I don't, frankly, spend a lot of my time worrying about exactly what the afterlife is like. I'm too busy here. What I think is important, and what I think that, that the tradition hands on pretty clearly, right, is that the bonds which tie us through faith, hope, and love in Christ Jesus can't be broken by something as simple as death. So death is weak and impotent now. It scares us in the way that a horror movie might, but it can't really do anything to us. And because of that, the prayer of the Christian living for the dead is effectual, just as the prayer of the Christian living for the living is effectual. And the prayer of the Christian who is dead for the living is effectual for the very same reason. So, you know, our tie to Christ Jesus doesn't get weaker once we die. It actually gets stronger. And because of that, we can lean heavily on the prayers of those who have died, because the Jews taught us to, and because Jesus recommends it himself. And so, what we really have is this great promise of the communion of saints, which is our living tie to each other in Christ Jesus.
Our hope always in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are in good condition when we live in our sacraments. It's not an excuse to, it's not a justification that is, it's my life, as you said. We have been busy in this temporal life, but at the same time, we need to be ready because nobody knows in which moment the Lord called you,
right,
and you need to be ready to move him forward. With the grace of God, my dear brothers and sisters from Iowa Catholic Radio, this program help you to live in this very light winter that we have been joined in Iowa, to be close to the sacrament of reconciliation, to be close with God, to ask in the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us, guide us, and lead us to Jesus Christ, his Son. Father, could you please send us with your blessing?
May the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the merits and the prayers of the Blessed Virgin and all the saints grant whatever good you do or suffering you endure, heal you all your sins, help you grow in holiness, and bring you to everlasting life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you. Join Father Fabian Moncada every Tuesday at 9 a.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Also tune in Sundays at 10:30 a.m. for Be Not Afraid in Spanish. Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Be Not Afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists and Dream Dirt, Farm Real Estate and Auction Services.